All right, everybody, for the first podcast of the week here, a little bit of a review. In case you missed it, Mike Haynes was out on Sunday night, but I was joined by SiriusXM's Zig Fricassi. Zig is on the NFL Network. He's also all over XM Sports, but he also contributes to SiriusXM NHL Home Ice. And so Zig was kind enough to come on the program in case you missed it on Sunday night. Here is the segment once again in today's edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Talking Puck TV. Tom Gallahan here with you, and oh my goodness, it's going to be one of those nights, is it? Thanks for joining us here, as always, as we are streaming live every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time here on Talking Puck TV. Normally, I'm joined by Mike Haynes, but Mike can't make the show this week, and so I am very happy to have on board from SiriusXM, Zig Fricassi joining us here. And if you listen to Sirius at all, you'll recognize Zig's voice immediately. I'm 100% confident in that because, Zig, you're everywhere. I have you on the NFL channel. I have you on just regular SiriusXM Sportscast. You're always doing the updates in my ear, and then I hear you contributing on the NHL side. So how do you wear so many hats?
I don't know, Tom. I got to try to get them all to fit. You know, my head's kind of big to begin with, and not because of ego, but it's just the way that the cranium goes. But it's an honor to be working for them, and great. Appreciate you having me on the show tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to getting your insights on a bunch of things. I know that, you know, Mike's in Colorado. I'm in Arizona. So we cover a lot of stuff West Coast wise. That's what we look at. You know, and there's a lot to talk about. But we also like to talk about the East because, A, we both grew up in the East. And B, you know, it's just we've known for a while who the Eastern playoff teams are. And we'll get to the West. We'll get to Vegas. We'll get to all that stuff. And we are going to talk about that. Trust me. But let's start with the East, because probably the biggest piece of news came out. Carolina now lost both goalies. Both of their starting goaltenders are out and injured. And Rod Brind'Amour was Rod Brind'Amour about it. Says, what are you going to do? Cry about it? Which I love that quote, but what are they going to do about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that happened today with the Carolina win over the New York Islanders. I guess Ranta went down, I believe it was in the second period. So they called upon the rookie. If I try to butcher his name or pronounce his name, I'll butcher it. But anyway, he had actually made his pro debut, Tom, the day before. So, of course, you know, they could carry on. They beat the Islanders, a team that's been out of it for a while. And like Rod says, do what you do. But going forward, both of these injuries, Anderson was hurt, I think, about 2 weeks ago, I want to say. Lower body, Ranta, lower body. You know, sooner or later, they're going to get a tough draw in the first round. And you're thinking, hey, if they match up with Boston, you know, they own them in the regular season. Three straight wins, 16-1 was the cumulative score. You don't think the Bruins, savvy veteran team that they are, wouldn't be looking forward to facing a rookie goalie in the playoffs? So it's a situation worth watching. Hopefully one or both of those guys, though, come back for Carolina. Because I'm not sure you can win with a rookie goalie in the playoffs.
You know, that's an interesting point, too, with you talk about throwing a guy in there for the first time. And it was interesting just to talk about what's going on tonight. Lightning Panthers is 5-3 Lightning. Spencer Knight got the start for Florida. And I understand why you do it. And to the outside, you might be saying, why do you put Knight in instead of Bobrovsky against Tampa? You want Knight to feel that pressure and see that team, absolutely, right? But unfortunately, he gets pulled. Bobrovsky ends up going in after the fifth goal. So it wasn't the start they wanted out of him. But, man, that's so even in Florida, where they like their goaltending, you put a guy in and here at the end of the regular season, he has a shaky start. I can't imagine in Carolina putting a kid in who, you know, has little to no NHL experience, let alone playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. And with Florida, again, they appear to be the class of the East. But you know as well as I do, Tom, what's hurt them in the past? It's been the goaltending. And we saw it again tonight. You know, Bobrovsky obviously has a Vezina pedigree for his regular season success. But other than the playoffs, I mean, it's not been very good there. Can they continue to, you know, they outscore teams, are able to do that. But can you continue to play that style in the playoffs? Can you win 6-4, 7-5 type games in the playoffs? Maybe once in a while you can. And you got to wonder, too, as good as the defense has been, and they've had this unbelievable record without Ekblad, can they continue that? So a lot of questions, though, although Florida, again, appears to be, at least points-wise, the class of the East.
Yeah, and, you know, they're fun to watch, aren't they? They're a fun team. I love watching Florida play, and I'm glad people finally are paying attention to them.
Yeah, Barkov's off the chains. He's been one of the most underrated superstars, and then obviously Huberto. And let's not forget, too, the job that Andrew Burnett's done, especially after having to come in, you know, when Joel Quenneville was let go, obviously with that situation that stemmed back from the time in Chicago. They didn't want to deal with that anymore, so Andrew had to come in. And really, for a first-time head coach, has done a terrific job under some dire circumstances, but it's nice when you have the talent. And then obviously they were all in, you know, trading for Drew, trading from Sherratt. And I think, what is it? They're out of draft, first round draft picks like the next 3 years. So they're all in right now.
Absolutely. You know, Zig, it's fun to like, I love, and I used to do this when I was with the Predators, and I wasn't calling because we didn't always do all the games on TV and radio. So when it was radio only, Pete Weber moved over, I would be the sideline guy. So I'd hop on the bench and talk to our assistant coach, Peter Horacek. He did not want me there. Wanted no part of that interview, but kind of grudgingly agreed to do it in that break in the second period and, you know, hurry up and get out of there as fast as I could. Brunette loves it. He'll put the headset on and he's yakking away with these guys while things are going on. And they asked him tonight, he was down 4-3, and he said, that's an entertaining game. You know, like, he's just, he's such a different guy. And it's, I love that he kind of embodies that team. You know what I mean? Like, you look at them and that's how they feel. That's how they look. They seem very loose for a team that doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience, but guys are responding to what he's doing there.
Yeah. And let's not forget, Andrew Brunette was a pretty fair player in his day. You know, when you go back to the Wild, I think he played with the Avs for a little bit. So this guy, he knows what it takes to, you know, succeed at the pro level. So I think having sort of that players type coach kind of keeps things loose down. There's no question.
Absolutely. So Zig is jumping on. By the way, in case you're just joining us, and we do take questions from the chat. So those of you in the chat, you want to throw something out there for Zig or I, please feel free. But Mike is out tonight, so Zig's stepping in, and happy to have him on board as we get through some things. Right now we're talking about the East. And so the other thing that happened this week and the last couple of weeks, boy, the Rangers have been on fire. And they kind of gave Carolina a bit of a scare. Now, I don't think time is on the Rangers' side. Carolina's got two games left, three for the Rangers, technically, as of where we are right now with games going on. But they're not going to catch them. But boy, oh boy, the Rangers all of a sudden look like they figured something out.
Yeah, they did. And I think, by the way, Tuesday, the teams are going to meet in New York. So that'll be one of the games where basically Carolina can essentially clinch that division. Rangers, they got a little bit of a comeuppance yesterday in Boston, the Bruins winning that game. And, you know, I was reading a piece in the New York paper talking about, as good as they've played, but their opposition hasn't been all that strong. But still, you could take the attitude of, well, they've played well because they're beating teams that they should. So there's like the glass half full type of analogy. So we'll see going forward, but you're exactly right. I mean, they had been playing very well. Chris Kreider exceed, 50 goals. And he's only the fourth Ranger to ever do that. They got a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman in Fox. Panarin showing he's one of the premier playmakers in the league. They've got the balance you're looking for. And, there was a little rocky road Sturkin, like a few weeks ago, but he had been the Vezina leader as far as I'm concerned. So you talk about a team that I thought was on the uptick under David Quinn, and then that fiasco with the owner at the end of last year really kind of derailed everything, so they had to clean the front office out. Gerard Gallant, players coach, obviously, Tom, from your time in Vegas, you know how good Gerard is, had a good record in Florida, took Vegas to a final. He knows how to coach players. Rangers, they've got the talent, I think, to make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, we talked a little bit about Boston here just because of what happened with the Rangers, but Boston and Pittsburgh, these are two teams I keep looking at, Zig, and I think to myself, when are these guys going to age out? Because they just, I think everybody thinks that, right? You know, you look at them and it's like, when are they finally going to be over the hill? And they just seem to keep hanging on year after year. Do you think either one of them, but we can start with Boston, has an impactful playoff run in them?
Well, they showed yesterday when they had Lindholm and Pasta return that they look like a different team. And obviously Allmark too. So those are three key regulars that are back now. The two of them didn't fly to Montreal tonight. So, and I think that was by design. Cassidy had even said yesterday after the game they weren't going to play. So if those guys are back, Boston may have one impact run left in them, because I think there's almost a feeling that this could be it for Bergeron. We'll see, because, you know, there's been some talk about him with nagging injuries and all that. So, and if he wanted to come back, Tom, you think they would have had a deal with him done by now? And even Cassidy in his comments yesterday said something to the effect of, well, it's nice having Bergeron while he's still here. So all the conspiracy theorists say, you know, what they want. And to Pittsburgh, man, you know, as long as Crosby and Malkin are there and have the fire for the game, they're going to continue to play well. Obviously, Letang anchors a defense that I think is good, but maybe not all that great. But where they've been able to sustain success is the collegiate ranks. I mean, you Nebraska, Omaha for Jake Guentzel, Notre Dame for Brian Rust. I mean, they've been able to get guys through the collegiate ranks. I think John Marino, their defenseman, is a Harvard guy. So they've specialized in that area. It's going to be interesting, though, now with the new ownership there, the Fenway group that runs the Red Sox and some of these other organizations here, Tom, it's going to be interesting to see, are they going to be able to keep Malkin? Are they going to be able to keep Letang? Or, you know, do we start seeing the fire sell? So Boston and Pittsburgh, I think, both have intriguing storylines entering the off season. But yeah, you're right. Until either one ages out, it's like, all right, get old already. We don't want to see in the playoffs anymore, right?
Oh, it's kind of a crazy thing that just every year I keep waiting for the other skate to drop, especially with the Penguins. I always think to myself, well, Letang's hurt so much. How is he going to have an impactful year? Malkin has hurt so much. How is he going to have an impact this year? And he does. They do, somehow. So I credit the Penguins. Yep. And Mike Sullivan, every year I put him in my Coach of the Year candidate talk because of the job he does with that Penguins team.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and, you know, just to tie him back in with Boston, I thought, you know, before the big lockout, I thought he got kind of a raw deal up there, because I thought the Bruins 03-04 had a cup contending type of team. But then obviously when the lockout hit and everything like that, you know, their roster was kind of gutted. And I think he took way too much of the blame for that. And I'm glad he landed on his feet and became a Stanley Cup champion with Pittsburgh.
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. All right, Zig, we actually have a great question here coming out of the chat. And a reminder to everybody, we do take questions from the chat, and we appreciate you being a part of the show. Big Dave asking, is there a surprise team that could come out of the East? It's so competitive in the conference. And, of course, we talk about Tampa Bay. Can they go for three in a row? Florida is the leader in the clubhouse. Carolina's looked really good. The Rangers have had a surge. But, I mean, out of all these, you know, those are, let's call them the favorites maybe, but favorites, is there anyone who could surprise coming out of there? Is there Washington or Boston or someone like that who makes a run?
You know, it's going to be amazing, Tom, and looks like Washington, they're winning their game now against Toronto in the third period. So that would put them over 100 points. Do you realize that all eight teams are in the East are going to have at least 100 points?
Wow.
And let this marinate. Four of them are going to get dumped in the first round. I mean, that's how frighteningly good the top of the East is. Gosh. Yeah, because those four you mentioned, they're probably the favorites. Wow. Of the so-called underdogs. Again, I think if Boston is able to get continued consistent play out of their second line, Lindholm and McAvoy make up a good shutdown. And then they've got first time playoff goaltending too now with Swayman and Linus Allmark. So they possibly could. I don't think you could ever discount Washington. You know, they're what, 4 years removed from their cup pedigree. So maybe one of those two. But gosh, it's just so airtight in the East. I don't know if the top seeds going down to the bottom seeds would surprise me. That's how tight it is.
Yeah, and I do know for those who are having to shift away from Twitch, I know we're having a few issues on Twitch right now, so we're trying to get Twitch to reconnect here. We're working on that, but we're also on Facebook and YouTube if you want to join us there. And Twitter. We live stream on Twitter as well, so welcome to everybody who watches.
You're everywhere, Tom.
Oh, we are everywhere. Now, well, you know, we're trying to get more people involved with this because I love talking hockey. You know, it's just...
So do I.
It's so much fun, especially this time of year. Let's shift over, if we can, Zig, to the West, because I don't want to chew up all our time. Well, actually, before we leave the East, we do have Sabres fans, a lot of Sabres fans who do love to follow this show. They've had an interesting second half to the year, and I just wanted to get your take on it. We've kind of discussed it here, but what are your thoughts on the Sabres team as you look at them moving forward?
I got to tell you, I still have a lot of friends and family still in that area from Niagara Falls originally. So I think now, Tom, for the first time in many years, there seems to be the proverbial direction. They seem to finally have Kevin Adams. I happen to think he's a real sharp guy. Got to know him a little bit through the years. And I mean, the trades that they made with Philadelphia in the offseason, unloading Ristolainen, and then obviously that trade with Vegas with Eichel to get probably Vegas's top two prospects and Krebs and Alex Tuck. I thought that was a masterstroke on his part. You got guys like Kinestroza who say you want to play there. Dahlin's finally starting to look like a top end defenseman. You add Owen Power, top overall pick. Size and mobility. I think if they fix the goaltending, and again, Craig Anderson's been a nice sort of stopgap, but I don't think he's your long-term answer. If UPL is ever the top guy, that remains to be seen. But I think for the first time, Tommy, in many years, there's a purpose. There's a sense of direction. Don Granato comes from a great hockey family. I like the pedigree there. A couple of tweaks here and there. Maybe the Sabres start to knock at that door a little bit of the top four in that really rugged Atlantic division. The needle's pointing up. Let's call it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, Zig, you've just even been more elevated now that I know you're from the Falls because I'm from Lackawanna. I'm a Buffalo guy, so, you know, I don't know if you knew that or not.
But, Bethlehem Steel, brother.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. That'll give our Sabres fans
Ron Jaworski.
A smile. I know. Oh, absolutely. And Mike Mamula. Our two NFLers both played for the Eagles. I don't know how that works, but it did.
Yes.
That's I wouldn't call it a pipeline because it's only two guys, but yeah, that's an interesting direct line for our and a couple other pro athletes out of Lackawanna.
Both Eagles, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Both Eagles. Both Eagles. Mamula signed that big deal out of the combine that 1 year coming out of BC. And
yeah, Jaws is beautiful. He's a great guy. I've had him on my show several times. Prince does a lot for charity, does a lot with golf down in Philadelphia. He has the thing with Ditka, I think, every year with cigars at the Super Bowl. So Jaws is a great human being.
Absolutely. And the godfather of my cousin. That's how small Lackawanna is.
Oh, is that right?
He's, he's the godfather of my cousin Glenn. Yeah. So that's, I know, it's such a tiny little world.
Let's have a Jenny Cream.
Yes, yes. Oh, I got stories about that. All right, let's shift west here before we get too far off the whole wagon here, because we did have a question about Vegas in the chat as well that I wanted to get to. And of course, you know, people know I spent, you know, a couple of years covering Vegas pretty darn close. My take on it
I lived there.
Here's my take is, Zig, I look at this and I say to myself, Pete DeBoer came in the door. It was immediately clear he didn't like Marc-Andre Fleury. So he kind of banished Fleury. They end up giving Fleury away and signing Leonard to a contract that felt rushed and ill-advised. I never liked the contract. Not that I don't like Leonard. That's not the point. I don't like the contract. Then they go out and sign this giant deal with Pietrangelo. Then they go out and trade for Jack Eichel. They're swamped. I don't know how they can bail this boat out. They're in serious trouble. I really don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't think they will. And even if they do, if Leonard has a cracked kneecap and wanted to end his season and have surgery because the coach is calling him out for playing poorly, if he's been playing with a cracked kneecap since March, come on. What's going on in Vegas? The lack of communication is astounding. And to me, this is a front office problem. And I don't mind saying I think there needs to be a retooling there. So I'm interested to get your thoughts on this as well.
Well, Tom, having lived there for 16 years, you know that people there, they want to see the headliners.
Sure.
The Vegas Strip has all the headliners. And where I'm going with that is everything that you so very clearly and intelligently laid out. They brought in the star power, and that's how Vegas got to the immediate success in the first place. I still think this, I wouldn't say rigged, but let's just say it was influenced for Vegas, I think, to be competitive right away. Now, did anybody anticipate the Stanley Cup Finals in their first year? Probably not. But your point well taken. Pacioretty, Stone, Eichel, you know, players of this ilk, Leonard. Big money contracts, frequent injuries, Tom. Also getting older, too.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are both old enough to remember the old Fram Oil commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me later.
That's right.
They're going to have to pay that bill at some time. I mentioned earlier about the trade, I thought of fleecing, actually, because I still think Krebs and Tuck could actually do a lot for the Sabres. Eichel's a wonderful talent and all that. But, you know, since he got there, they've been kind of a middling team. You're aging. Not sure they have any prospects. I still talk to a lot of people in Vegas, Tom, and they tell me the same thing. This team is basically almost on borrowed time. And then what do you start doing? Can you unload some of these salaries? Because sooner or later, you're going to have to infuse some youth into this program. And I think other than the Brisson kid, I'm not sure that they have a whole lot coming out of Henderson or their ECHL team for that matter. So the point is, if they even get in now, they better make a run at it, because sooner or later, they may be missing the playoffs on a little more than regular basis.
Yeah, and think about it. I mean, Suzuki, everyday player with the Canadiens. You know, Krebs looks good. Cody Glass hasn't quite developed the way I thought he would yet. He's back in the American League with Nashville, but we'll see how that goes. Right from the Brännström, first guy out the door. They've always shown a willingness to get rid of those prospects and kind of gamble on going after the cup. But now, let's just call it what it is. It's cap mismanagement, and the wheels are coming off, and they can't stop it. So I'm curious to see how they're going to bail themselves out, because here's another thing. This is kind of an interesting point I've made before. I kind of feel like Vegas is now the most hated team in the NHL. So who's going to help them out? You know those teams that people look at and go, who's really going to take their contracts? And I know someone will, but no one's in a hurry.
No, not at all. And it's interesting, although I like George McPhee. I've always been an admirer of his and got to visit with him a few years ago at the Stanley Cup Final. And And because we were having a chatty, it was on my college hockey show, another show I used to do for Sirius XM, and talking about how, you know, they're trying to maybe get UNLV up to Division I for hockey, like right. ASU is out in Arizona. So anyway, just to digress there for a second, but, you know, let's face it, that owner, Mr. Foley, he wants to win now. And he knows that for Vegas, you have to do that. But I think now at some point, it's interesting you bring up, there seems to be a lot of discord. Also, there are instances, if I'm not mistaken this year, Tom, they didn't dress enough players because of the cap. How embarrassing is that to be short two players right. because they're over the cap? That is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, you're going out there with 17 or whatever you're trying to come out. Yeah, right. it's bad. And Big Dave saying the Coyotes could take a high-priced player to help get to the minimum for themselves. And, of course, the Coyotes are a whole nother thing we've gotten into more than a few times, especially on my podcast during the week. But I'll tell you what, I do want to stay west real quick, and I want to do two things because I know our time is kind of coming to a close here. But number one, let's talk about Ryan Getzlaff's retirement. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but the handshake line for Getzlaff after the Kings game was tremendous. Yes. And he got a big hug from Jonathan Quick. And the Ducks and the Kings, I guess unless you're kind of around that rivalry, you don't understand what the rivalry is. But boy, oh boy, they've gone at it tooth and nail for so long. And now Getzlaff got a very nice show of respect from the Kings as he approaches the end of a storied career.
Yeah, and I think it was Greg Beecham. I think he covers the hockey out in Southern California for the Associated Press. He had a video, Tom, that I retweeted, and I think it was the first stoppage of play last night. And they did like a little bit of a tribute to Getzlaff, and there was a sincere ovation from the LA fans. Sure. Now, I watched a little of that game last night. It was interesting because there was like a late game scrum where I think Kaliev was being hounded by whoever wears number 76 for Anaheim. His name's drawing a blank right now. But anyway, whacked him good. And the Anaheim player was looking for revenge. And like Getzlaff's kind of in the mix and he's getting tackled upon and all that. And not even a couple of minutes later when the game's over, they're all shaking his hand. I couldn't stop giggling at that. But again, that goes to show how much respect they have for him. You know, I know there were a couple of teams going after him at the trade deadline last year, but he was hardcore Anaheim through and through. Is he a Hall of Famer? That I got to think about. I really do. But I'll say this. In that Ducks franchise, put it this way, Timo Solani, Paul Kariya, and Ryan Getzlaff, that's probably your trinity of greatness for that franchise.
Mike Haynes actually called him the greatest Duck of all time, which agree with that, disagree with that. We had a good debate over that one in a podcast one time, but he said he is the greatest Duck of all time, you know, the couple of cups and all that. And I'm like, it's hard to ignore Solani, but of course Solani did a lot of his damage with the Winnipeg Jets and you know, the right. crazy rookie season. You have the 76 goals. So I understand as far as, but beginning to end, Getzlaff is a Duck. And that's how you're going to think of him at the end of the day. And, you know, if he does or does not go into the Hall of Fame, you know, he has a couple of cups. He's done some extraordinary things, and he's been the face of that franchise for a long time.
And I think in that franchise, too, with Segris and, you know, Troy Terry and some of the youngsters there, they're going to be a load to play, I think, going forward. I think Dallas Eakins and Pat Verbeek have done a nice job as coach and GM. I'm not sure they're quite a cup contender just yet, but they're following their Southern California neighbors here, Tom, in terms of trying to become relevant again. The Ducks are an exciting team to watch, and I think going forward, their future is pretty bright.
All right, Zig, who do you have then that you like out of the West? Maybe if you've got a surprise team in the West, and who is your favorite out of, obviously we've got, you know, Calgary looks strong, Colorado looks strong, but then Minnesota's been very convincing this year. Edmonton suddenly learned to play defense. There's a lot of good storylines and just a lot of still things up in the air in the West.
I'll tell you, Tommy, not to look too far ahead, but I would think whoever comes out of the Minnesota-St. Louis series could do some damage, because the Blues, to me, it started to look like 19 all over again. And we all know what happened that year when they won the Stanley Cup. Whereas Minnesota, man, you talk about an about face of that franchise, the job Billy Guerin's done and bringing in some skill and high-end players like Kaprizov and players of that magnitude. I think whoever comes out of that series, Tom, might be a real hell's force to come out of the West. Although you're right, I think about Calgary too. They play well under the Sutter system. Markstrom, I think they got to maybe give another game off or two before the playoffs because he was starting to look tired. But if he's well rested to go, Calgary could be another tough out.
And it's going to be so much fun with the playoffs this year. I just keep coming back to that. You're right. The St. Louis, Minnesota series, which is set in stone, is going to be a blast to watch. And You don't know what you're going to get out of Edmonton, which kind of makes it fun to see who they are once the playoffs get here. Calgary, you think you know who you are in the regular season, but not everybody who has a great regular season shows up in the playoffs. So there's so many storylines. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's going to be great. Nashville, that's another one. Nashville sometimes looks like a monster, and sometimes they're not quite all on the same page. And you wonder, okay, how together are they going to be in the playoffs? So these are the fun questions we get to ponder.
It's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. All right, Zig, before we let you go, anything that you wanted to cover that we hadn't talked about, or maybe just something that's been on your mind this week, or when it comes to the National Hockey League, things that are just, you know, a top of mind for you?
Well, you know, obviously what's gone on tonight here in Montreal, looks like the Canadiens are actually trying to make a comeback against the Bruins, and the pregame ceremony to remember Guy Lafleur. I got to tell you, Tom, you talk about greatness, elegance, and having to live up to that legacy of Rocket Richard, Jean Beliveau, Guy Lafleur, a different era for sure. Canadians had a pipeline to all the Quebec junior players, but man, what an elegant, classy player that guy was. And maybe it was a little bit fitting the Bruins were in Montreal, because that was the main rival, the team he tormented the most. Almost fitting indeed to have this. So it's been a tough run. You lose Mike Bossy, lost a battle to cancer earlier this year. Tony Esposito, Rod Gilbert. My gosh, you got the Hockey Hall of Fame going up to the real Hall of Fame, for goodness sake. So it's been a little bit for guys, you and I, maybe a little bit older, remember these players coming up, and it's just been somewhat of a difficult time, but we remember their greatness, and just wanted to mention that.
Absolutely. All right, so Dave's got one here, squeeze in before we hit the break. In recent times, has there been a coach that has transitioned better from old school hockey to the new style, better than Daryl Sutter in Calgary?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I mean, I still think Sutter coaches, you could tell there's an imprint on Calgary because they do play a responsible type of game. You know, you don't rarely ever see them out of position, but I can understand what he's bringing up, because Gaudreau is so electric. You know, that top line they have has been really good. Tkachuk has had a monster year too. So there is some creativity there. So, you know, I think Sutter realized he was away for a few years, maybe had to change a little bit, but still they play a structured, disciplined type game. And I think that Flames team, Tom, has kind of taken on his type of personality too. No nonsense, straightforward business. That's why I think Calgary is going to be a tough out when the playoffs roll around.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Zig, we appreciate you taking the time to come and hang out, talk some hockey with us here this evening. Thanks so much for being here.
Tom, anytime, my man. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. All right, we'll take a quick break here, and we will come back with more Talking Puck TV in just a moment. Follow Zig on Twitter. It is at Zig Fricasse, just like it's spelled right there on the screen. Give him a follow. Worthy as well. So thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.